life is one big, it's like one big entity. And when you expand and you open up to life, meaning you decide you're going to expand and open up in the direction of the things that you want and value, you naturally get the other side of the coin as well.
You're listening to episode 269 of the Building Psychological Strength podcast, where we uncover the information, tools, and techniques to turn our mind into our most valuable asset.
The courage to face fears with persistence.
Being able to be present enough in this moment to choose my response thoughtfully.
We have the strength to bend to life stressors, to bend to adversity without snapping, without breaking.
There are only six things that contribute to our quality of life, and they are all experiences.
In every moment, we are deciding who we want to be and how we want to live our lives.
Noticing what your brain is doing and then being able to make choices.
Mobilize the things that we know lift us up.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Building Psych Strength podcast. My name is April and I'm your host. And I'm super pumped to be joined by Ashley today for what will hopefully be a very enlightening and awesome episode.
I am excited to talk about this. It's a really good concept that I don't think most people have really thought about, but it can be a really useful one.
Yes, absolutely. This concept, the idea for this episode, came from a couple of places. We in Peak Mind have been doing a lot more speaking and workshop events with corporate clients and other organizations, business groups, entrepreneur groups, that type of thing. And as part of one of these, or a couple of these talks, actually, a couple of these workshops, I should say, we got into a discussion around, when we need to take an action that is difficult, that is maybe outside of our comfort zone, feels a little bit uncertain, feels bigger than we're used to, any of that stuff that generates what Ashley calls the internal ick. It can feel like our minds can tell us things like, I can't do it. I can't. And we wanted to talk with this group of business professionals about that notion. Well, I also recently finally read in its entirety the book, The Happiness Trap by Russ Harris. Ashley turned me on to this book, and it's basically a straightforward way to apply acceptance and commitment therapy in your life. Now, don't think about acceptance and commitment therapy like, I'll wait until I'm really depressed and then I'll read this book and whatever. It's more like, here are some evidence-based ways for you to create meaningful change in your life, to point to and align to the things that matter to you and that feel true and good to you. And here's ways to do that. And this concept that I'm flirting with right now came up in a big way toward the end of that book. So the concept we want to dive into today is the slight shift in our language. Instead of saying, I can't do something, to shift and say, I'm unwilling to do something. So Ashley, do you want to talk a little bit about what willingness actually is and what it does and doesn't mean when we say we're going to adopt this language of willingness?
Yeah, I think willingness is such a powerful concept, and it comes up in psychology in different ways, right? The Happiness Trap, I gotta say, guys, it's a great read. It's a user's manual for like how to live a good life with a human mind.
So, we'll link to it in the episode description. It's so good.
Awesome. And there are other versions, but that one, I just love Harris's work. So we've got that. There's another tradition in psychology that talks about willingness versus willfulness. And so really getting into this, willingness is really, it's your openness to experience discomfort. So you've heard us talk about on the podcast before, if you've been with us in other like live events or any of our online programs, this term acceptance. And that's one, you know, we've talked about how it gets all misconstrued and misunderstood. Willingness is another word for acceptance. So I love and kind of find myself shifting more to that to talk to people instead of, because acceptance gets into like, well, I don't want this feeling, or I don't like this, or I don't approve of it. Cool. Let's talk about willingness. And it is, are you willing to experience that inside ick that comes up in order to pursue the things that matter? So if I think about it, like at least the way I think about it is, in any given situation, there's sort of, you get to choose your actions, and there's the ones that open up. That is, these are the willingness moves. You're opening up. So you are expanding, you're embracing life, or they're the closed down moves. These are the avoidance moves, the moving away from that ick, that discomfort, the hard stuff. And with this, it's sort of like, I picture a spiral or a process, right? Like you've got momentum, and when you're closing down and you're unwilling, you're on this like downward trajectory, and things just sort of like spiral, right? The more you avoid something, the more you avoid, right? If I want to avoid saying no, then I get stuck doing all these things, and then I don't say no, and then I get more and more overwhelmed. So it's just sort of this like self-feeding cycle. Mm-hmm. Or you can kind of flip it, and it's moving in a positive direction, this expanding, which is like living a big, vital life. To do that, though, you have to experience some discomfort. Mm-hmm. So I know we'll get into this a whole lot more, but just think about it this way, right? If I want to have six-pack abs, I have to be willing to do the work. That means I have to be willing to experience the burn of my muscles when I do those stinking crunches, mm-hmm. and willing to experience the cravings for maybe cheese dip or M&Ms, my two big weaknesses.
I really like cheese dip too.
Right? I just... but am I willing to experience that craving and not feed it to have what I want? Now, I don't care necessarily about six-pack abs, just an example to kind of put it in there, because we want to talk about how this applies to life, mm-hmm. and tie it back to that can't versus unwilling language that we use, because that's big.
Mm-hmm. Something that I think is really interesting when we talked to Steve Hayes, the founder of Acceptance and Commitment Therapy. Oh gosh, it's over a year ago on the podcast, but something that was really clear in his episode that in theory we understand it, but in practice somehow it all falls apart, is this fact that life is one big entity. And when you expand and you open up to life, meaning you decide you're going to expand and open up in the direction of the things that you want and value, you naturally get the other side of the coin as well.
Right.
Some of that difficulty and struggle or whatever, difficulty, negative stuff, the ick, that's mm-hmm. going to come in too. And you can't, it's like that old saying, like you can't get there from here. You can't get to the thing that you want without the struggle. How do you get six-pack abs without a million crunches? Mm-hmm. How do you get the experience and expertise that comes from, you know, a doctorate without doing the cruddy work for 5 to 8 years? Like, right. How do you, you know, there's a level of work and struggle and effort that's going to go into any positive thing, mm-hmm. almost without exception in, you know, our lives. So when you open up, what we're saying is we're opening up to all of it. But in practice, what happens is we want the outcome. So I'm going to put it into something like yucky, like a really good example. You have to have a difficult, courageous conversation with somebody. Mm. You have to lay it all out there, get it all out on the table. And you sit and you mull over it for weeks and you're thinking about it and you're trying to figure out a way that you can have that conversation without feeling the anxiety and the angst and the ickiness and the discomfort and the awkwardness that's going to come with the conversation. And there just isn't a way to have the conversation and be on the other side of it and get the resolution that you need without going through the yuck. You can't do it.
Right.
But we try, right? That's why we hesitate. That's why, and I am 100% guilty of this, but we try to piece them apart. In theory, we get that life comes as a whole, but somehow we try to only accept the parts that we like. And that's not how it works.
The good stuff, right?
Oh, of course, like, not that, right? Good vibes only,
right? It makes me think about so many examples here, and flexing your willingness muscle, or being able, maybe it's flipping your willingness switch, right? Like, I'm going to turn it on. I'm willing, right? If you want to have children, you're going to go through childbirth, right? I mean, yes, of course, there are exceptions to that and different ways to have children, but just think about it that way, right? If you want to give birth to children, you got to go through the birth process. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you want to get a promotion, right, to move up in your career, this is one that's kind of relevant in my world right now, is partner got a promotion. Yay. So excited. He died. I know I'm talking about him.
Yay!
But with that comes the, yes, he wanted this, and it's new territory, right? So it's the, you're stepping out of your comfort zone. Of course, there's going to be doubt and worry and a learning curve. That's ick. Are you willing to experience that? Because if you're not, your career stagnates, right? Relationships. If you want to have a level of intimacy, you have to be willing to be vulnerable, to lay it out there, as you put it. Ick. But if not, you stay guarded, you don't get that closeness. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of learning to look at it as, I mean, honestly, I call it the worth it factor a lot. Like, is it worth it?
Yeah.
And in that case, and that leads to, and am I willing to experience this? Am I willing to endure this in order to get what's on the other side, or to move toward what I really want to do? And that's key, because if you have no willingness, you stay stuck, or worse, you go downhill.
Yeah. I mean, what you're talking about is something that Harris talks about in the book. Steve Hayes talks about in his work. And really, you can see it in your own life when we've got an outcome, a direction, a change, a something that we want. Maybe whether it's the new job or the relationship or a realignment in a particular area of our lives. When we have that, if you say yes to it, this goes back to your point of expansion. Your life expands. Not only are you opening up to bring all that in, but your life experience expands. And eventually, as your partner settles into this new role, which he will, right? Like, he'll get good at it. It'll become familiar. Pretty soon, your familiarity zone, your comfort zone, it expands to include this new thing. Like, the more we flex, the more we work, the more we like push it, we envelop more and more things inside our comfort zone. I'm going to give a funny example. Sometimes I give skydive examples that seem so ridiculous, but it is absolutely true. So the first time you do a skydive, you were like scared out of your mind, and you feel like you're going to either faint or pee your pants, or maybe both. Like, it's just the most terrifying experience. I was talking to, so typically you do a tandem skydive on your first skydive. Have you ever thought about, flip it around, the perspective of those tandem instructors? So the person who you're strapped to, do you realize that they do 13 skydives a day? Per day.
Wow.
They go there, they show up to a shift at work, and they jump out of a plane 13 times.
I had no idea. Never.
Right?
Okay.
So 13 times. They have a screaming, fainting, peeing person. They don't usually
strap to them.
But like, strap to them, right? How, think about the familiarity zone or the comfort zone difference between those two people. The person strapped to the tandem instructor and the tandem instructor. And there was one tandem instructor in particular that I talked to one time at the drop zone. And he was like, honestly, it's gotten to the point where I'm like so comfortable now. I'm thinking like, okay, and we're out and we're arched and we're stable and I'm going to have a sandwich for lunch. I feel like I'm going to do that. And it's like, there's room in his mind to be very comfortable in that situation. Now there's downsides that come with that. And we won't get into that with this episode, but What I'm getting at is he's repeatedly done something that is so far outside most people's comfort zone that his comfort zone just expanded to include it now.
Yeah.
And he's very comfortable. And that happens in all these other areas of our lives as well. If we're willing Bingo. To go through the screaming, oh my God, of the first 1,000 or more jumps that you right. make.
Right.
Yeah.
It's such an important thing. And I like phrasing it that way of, are you willing? Right. So if we kind of circle back to that workshop you were talking about mm-hmm. of the I can't, right? We can pull in a little bit of like fixed and growth mindset here too, when, which is just big and in a different topic, but when our brain hears I can't, it shuts down and quits like no problem solving. I can't, done, right? fMRI studies, brain scan studies have even shown, right? Like the differences is like, I can't, it shuts it down. What it also does, I can't do that. It takes away your power. Like, oh, I can't do that. And so I'm a big fan of really looking at your language and your internal language and how that shapes your life experience, how it shapes your emotional reactions, how it shapes the actions that you take. Here's another example of it. I want you to be precise. It's not that you can't move up in your company. It's not that you can't get closer to somebody. It's not that you can't jump out of a plane. I mean, maybe there are some real can'ts, but it's that you are unwilling to,
right?
You are unwilling to pay the cost. And I think it's important to be precise with yourself in that way, because it's going to frame it a little bit differently of, are you okay with that?
Well, and where my mind is going, I love that mm-hmm. so much. I'm thinking about two of the principles of life design. Number one, radical responsibility mm-hmm. around taking 100% responsibility for 100% of the situations you're in. Are you mm-hmm. going to be responsible for your movement or your decisions and behavior this point forward mm-hmm. and being willing and deciding you're willing to accept the ick in order to get the thing you want? That is being radically responsible.
Right.
But equally so is being honest with yourself. So be honest to yourself, if to no one else. If you're unwilling, then just be honest. That right. is also being radically responsible. I'm going to be radically responsible in this moment. I'm going to take ownership of this decision and I decide that I'm unwilling.
Yeah.
Then own it. Be honest with yourself and that's okay. But no, it still leaves the opportunity on the table though for the future.
Right. But at least you're being honest and that's empowering, right? It's I'm making a choice here because I can't as I don't have a choice.
It is.
It's out of my control when maybe there are some things that are. But really with a lot of this, it's just, I'm unwilling to experience the internal ick. I don't want to feel these feelings or I don't want to have these thoughts. So I'm going to avoid.
Yeah.
And your world will get smaller.
Yeah.
Those are the
two options. In the same way that you flex that muscle, you strengthen that muscle, whatever your familiarity and comfort zone expands, it can atrophy as well.
Yep.
I'm sure you see it, right? With anxiety, yeah. if you avoid situations that make you anxious, the more you avoid, the more anxiety provoking sort of lower, I don't know what the right word is, it's lower severity situations are. Right. Yeah. And so your life just gets smaller and smaller because mm-hmm. you're avoiding and avoiding rather mm-hmm. than strengthening and opening up.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, in the ACT world or in psychology in general, like we talk about experiential avoidance, right? And it's not always a bad thing, but oftentimes experiential avoidance is something that is going to close your world. It's going to shrink your world. It's going to rob you of the joy mm-hmm. and happiness because it's going to take you away from what matters. Now, for example, if I have a headache and I take an aspirin, that's experiential avoidance. I'm trying to avoid that inside experience of a headache, right? That one causes no problems. It takes care of my headache. Boom. I don't keep taking more and more aspirin. I don't keep getting rebound headaches for me. So that's okay. But if I avoid saying no, just to go back to that example, then what happens the next time in that situation? Like, I'm not going to say no. Well, shoot, that's really hard. So I'm just going to stop even putting myself in that situation at all. Mm-hmm. What is that? So you can see how your world starts to constrict. And if you're doing that, then if your world is getting small, Are you doing the things that matter? Are you connecting with people? Are you living your values? Are you being creative? Are you being helpful? Are you being exciting or adventurous or intellectually stimulating? Whatever it is, probably not.
Right.
There's often this, I mean, we can talk about like the choice point, like the fork in the road or kind of these two directions. You're either moving toward the kind of person you want to be and living the life, the kind of life you want to live, or you're moving away from it. And that's usually when you're trying to get rid of the inside egg. It's that I don't want to feel this. So I'm going to do what's easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's something inherent in this that I want to make sure that we dive into a bit as well. I'm going to give two quick examples that'll be pretty obvious lead-ins to it. Number one, you either jump out of a plane or you don't. You don't sort of jump out of a plane. You either do it or you don't.
Yeah.
You are either pregnant or you're not. You're not sort of pregnant. You either are or you aren't. In the similar way with willingness, you either are or you're not willing. One of the two. There's this cool quote in The Happiness Trap that this was one of the reasons why I was like, oh, we need to cover this on the podcast. This is good. He said, you can't leap a chasm in two jumps. If you're going to jump over a big hole, you don't get two jumps. You have to do it in one. Mm-hmm. It's a yes or a no. Are you going to do it? Because if you do it sort of, you're going to fall in the hole. Yeah. And there's bad outcomes that come from this. Willingness is a light switch. It's an on or an off. You are or you aren't. And you had a great example, Ashley, as we were prepping for this episode around what that does with anxiety. And I think we love to pick on toddlers. I have two. I'm allowed to.
So we can.
So like we can. But you had a great example.
Yeah. So sometimes thinking about this willingness as a switch that's on or off. And there's, I'll just go with it. There's kind of like a side discussion we could have, but just to really make this point is your willingness is on or it's off. You can't like kind of do it. And that would be like saying, you know what? I'm kind of willing to have like a rapid heartbeat, but I'm not willing to have the butterflies in my stomach. Like it's a system, right? So it's all going to happen. So it would be like saying when we try to do it that way, what we really do is we're kind of teaching our brain to just like escalate more. So it'll get
What
it wants, like a toddler when we're like, okay, I'm not going to give in to you if you just whine, but if you scream, then I'll give in and give you that toy that you want. What's the toddler learn? Mm-hmm. Learns to scream right away. And so
yell
this
your
is
face
where,
off.
Yeah. So when we got to be willing, it's like, I got to be willing to endure this entire tantrum. If what I want is a kid who doesn't tantrum anymore, same thing with the inside stuff is you got to be willing and maybe you're not willing for a long time, but maybe it's just, you know, practicing a little bit, kind of flexing it of like, for now I'm willing. I'm going to feel this, whether it's anxiety. Anxiety is an easy one for me because that's just what I do all day. But this works with shame, guilt, disgust, anger, sadness, happiness. Most people are willing to feel happy, although interesting stuff there too. Not everyone is, but
yeah,
we got to be willing. And it's kind of this, you got to be willing to have the whole human experience. I do want to throw out one side note on this. The issue with that I only want to feel the pleasant stuff and not the unpleasant is what it just flat out doesn't work that way. That's like saying I want a quarter that only has heads. It has tails too. You can't have it. So if you're like, I don't want tails, I'm throwing out all the tails, I'm unwilling to have them, then you have no quarters. Feelings are the same way. When we try to avoid certain ones, what actually happens over time is you miss out on the positive ones too. You have a diminished capacity, which means like, yes, you might feel happy, but it doesn't last as long. Lots of research to show that. So think about it. If you want your quarters, you got to take the tails. That's willingness.
Yeah. So you had some great, great thoughts too about how we build this skill, because everything we talk about within the realm of psych strength, these are skills. These are things that you can get better at, that you can strengthen yourself. You know, if you're taking action on a lot of the things that we talk about in the podcast. So I would love to give people just a couple of tips on how to build your willingness so that, and what you'll notice with a lot of the things that we teach is that it starts to bleed over into other areas of your life. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Let's give people some tips.
Well, I think the first one is more of a cognitive one. That's ask yourself the question, am I willing to experience this in order to have blank? Mm-hmm. Fill in the blanks. Am I willing to experience this in order to have blank or to pursue blank? Mm-hmm. That can be a nice thing to kind of cue you of like, hey, wait, you have a choice here. But the fun ones we were talking about are willingness challenges, where you think of it like you're going to flex your willingness muscle and it's intentionally do things that are unpleasant or a little bit uncomfortable. And they can be silly things like eat a spoonful of mustard just to show you can.
Oh man, my nose burns already.
Right. been hearing about Wim Hof, who's like the Iceman, holds a lot of world records, all this like cold stuff.
We actually have an episode coming up with one of the people who trained with him.
I'm so excited. This is one of those where like all paths kind of like I heard about it from like three disparate, like unrelated areas kind of leading back to this cold therapy. So that was one of my new experiences a few weeks ago was, all right, I've been trying to do this. Like people who do the polar plunges and stuff, like turn my shower to ice cold for the end. And I hadn't been able to do more than just arm or leg. And frankly, it's because I was unwilling to experience the discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
So I flexed my willingness muscle and did it. And it was cold and unpleasant, but I felt invigorated afterward. Now I'm not up to his whole like 2 minutes or whatever, but
hang out in an icy pond sort of. Yeah.
Right. I am unwilling to do that at this point. I'm going to be honest with myself. I can. Yeah. It's physically possible for me. I am choosing not to. But like that kind of like the cold challenge, forego dessert. Not for health food, just to prove that you can, just to say, I'm willing to have this craving and not resist it, not do anything about it. Also known as acceptance. You can do other things too. Just whatever it is that sort of stretches you of like, I'm willing to do this hard or unpleasant or icky or disgusting thing just to build that. Cause what you're doing is you're getting that experience of I do hard things.
Yeah.
I can do things that are uncomfortable.
I'm the type of person who,
mm-hmm.
that's identity. Yeah. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's what's interesting. And I know like we've talked about this of kind of venturing into the world of like the entrepreneurial world. And with that came a lot of anxiety. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time that night stomach flipping into that of, I didn't think of it in willingness terms back then, but I do now of, I'm willing to do this because I have trained myself to see it as this is a good thing because what I want requires this stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important.
And you're hitting on something interesting there too, what you want. Mm-hmm. They touch on it a bit in the happiness trap. This is very prevalent in the habit change literature, really prevalent in a lot of the like ACT work, all of that. What you're talking about, what we talked about earlier is almost like, okay, bear with me. I'm a data scientist by background during the day and I like math and quantitative things. So this feels like an equation, right? Or a like you've got a numerator and a denominator here. And on one side of the equation is the ickiness that you're going to have to go through. And on the other side of the equation is the positive outcome. And what you're trying to do is see at some point that ickiness, like the pain of not having that positive outcome, the pain of not making a change, or said another way, how awesome it would be to get that outcome begins to outweigh the negative piece or the work that you'll have to go through, the ick you'll have to go through to get it. And being really clear about what that positive outcome is going to be. Why do you want it so bad? How does it relate to your personal values? How does it rely on a strength of yours? What would it mean if you could snap your fingers and have that outcome right now? What would it mean to you? And continuing to remind yourself of that when you are, you know, in the thick of that difficulty that you have to go through in order to get to that outcome.
I think that's an important thing from a motivation standpoint. And I think you can think of it as like connecting with your why, right? Mm-hmm. Like I am willing to experience this anxiety. I'm willing to experience this insecurity or this doubt or this fear or this vulnerability because.
Yes.
This, you know, and it's okay to remind yourself of that, because that's gonna bump up your willingness. It's gonna mm-hmm. make it more likely that you'll flip that switch.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope this was helpful. It's such a subtle shift in our language, but an important one, mm-hmm. that is a tiny thing that we can do with a massive outcome. And I love episodes like this where we can talk about something small, but the ripple effect of it is very large. So hopefully this was really helpful for all of you as you think about how to put it to practice in your own life, and maybe that positive outcome or that positive change that you want to be making and why you haven't made it yet. And maybe there's some nuggets in here that help you move closer to being willing to go through what it would take to get there. Thanks so much for joining us this week, you guys. And I'm absolutely thrilled and excited about some of the episodes that we have coming up, and also some of the fun stuff that's going on behind the scenes in Peak Mind. We'll be ready to share that with you soon. We're so stinking excited. So stay tuned, stay with us, and we'll see you next week for another episode. Bye, guys.
It's a simple fact that nearly everyone in the world could benefit from building psychological strength, but not everyone will put in the time and effort to do so. But today you did. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Building Psychological Strength. Now, if you're interested in building the mental toughness, confidence, and resilience you need to thrive through life's ups and downs, visit us at www.peakmindpsychology.com. Also, if there's someone in your life who could benefit from this episode, please share it with them. And if you yourself found this episode valuable, meaning if you took away even one insight that you can use to build psychological strength in your own life, we would so appreciate it if you would drop us a rating and a review on iTunes. The thing is, the more ratings and reviews we have, the easier it is to get this powerful and important content out to the people who need to hear it. Remember, your mind can be your most valuable asset or your biggest liability, and you get to choose. So choose wisely, my friend, and I'll see you next time on Building Psychological Strength.